know two things, but one thing I know, I know he's all right. All right. Say all right. All right to praise. All right to worship. All right to lift up. Somebody say yeah. Say yeah.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, thank you now as we turn our attention to your word. We pray that you would speak through the text. Teach us. Show us. Let us know, Lord God, what it is that you desire us to know from your word. Let the Holy Spirit come within each and every one of us listening. Those who are here in the sanctuary, those who listen by media means, God, touch each heart and show us what you desire us to know today afresh from your word. We pray that you'd give fresh revelation. Lord, bless your people in such a way that we will not only be hearers of your word, but doers of your word. We ask this blessing in the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And the people of God said, amen. Well, if you get your Bibles, I just want you to look in a couple of verses with me. I just want to lift up these two verses as the Spirit of God gives me the liberty to do. It's in Romans 4:20 and 21. Romans 4:20 and 21. And it's speaking about Abraham's faith in God and the belief in what God promised him. And the word says, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Listen, giving glory to God. You may be seated in God's presence. When we begin to see Abraham here and understand Abraham's walk with God, it was truly a walk of faith, because there was no example for Abraham to follow like we have today in our modern biblical account. Abraham was known as the friend of God because he obeyed God and honored God in everything that God said, and he exercised his faith in a God he knew not until he met him at the age of 75. And when he met him, he was a heathen in a heathen country among heathen kin and culture. And God called him out and told him to go, but did not give him a present destination. But the obedience was in the fact that God called him from where he was to bring him into where he wanted him to go. There are just some things about God that he will not reveal all at once, because it's a faith walk. You remember Jeremiah, when he told Jeremiah, go down to the potter's house, and there will I talk with you. And it was amazing, because Jeremiah could have argued, God, why can't you talk to me here? But he obeyed God. And when he got down to the potter's house, God showed him something that made sense to him when he talked to him. And see, there are some things you just won't be able to figure out, that won't make sense to you until you obey the instructions of God. And Abraham was one such man who obeyed those instructions. And as we look at the text, without getting too far away from the points of this text, I want to share with you is, the Bible says he staggered not. First thing I want you to know is he did not waver concerning the promise of God. You know, the Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And so when you are double-minded, it means you're one way this moment and you're one way the next moment. Folk can't really get a fix on you, because you smile one moment and then you frown the next moment. They don't know whether to speak to you, because you speak sometime and then you won't speak at other times. Are y'all gonna talk to me in the house today? It's important to understand that God does not like double-minded people. And one of the worst things you can be as a child of God is a double-minded Christian, because double-mindedness gives the devil the opportunity to come in and create doubt and bring temptation and cause you to miss out on what God desires to do in your life. So listen at this. The Bible says he staggered not. He didn't waver. He didn't change his mind. He didn't falter in what he believed. But because God promised him, he held strong to what God had told him. Now, my brothers and sisters, I can't emphasize enough how important it is for you to hold on to what God's promised you. Because the devil does not want what God has promised you to come to pass. And one of the things I've got to tell you is about God, when he made you the promise, it became your responsibility to hold on not only to the promise, but to God who made the promise. You see, one of the things God wants you to understand is he says what he means, and he means what he says. When you recognize that God is faithful, he's not a man that he should lie, it means that when God says a thing, he's too honorable to back out on what he said. That's why he said in Malachi 3, I am the Lord, I change not. Aren't you glad you've got a God who isn't wishy-washy? Aren't you glad you got a God that when he promised you something, he follows through with what he promised, even if he's got to straighten you out before he brings the promise to pass? Aren't you glad God didn't like you when you promised folks something, and then when they make you mad, whatever you promised, you can write that off. It's over, amen. But God is not like that. Somebody ought to say, thank God for God. Hallelujah. So the first thing in the verse we see is the promise. He staggered not at the promise of God. Now listen to this, because I'm tiptoeing through this because I don't want you to miss nothing. Not at the promise of man. Thank you, sir. The promise of God is unlike the promise of man. And my brothers and my sisters, if I don't say any more about this part of the text, I need you to understand, when you get a promise from God, it's good as done. No matter how you feel, you can take it to the bank. It's real when God makes a promise. But next thing I want you to see, he says he staggers not at the promise of God. Well, how can you stagger at the promise of God? The next part is in the verse. Through unbelief. Not doubt. Through unbelief. What's the difference between doubt and unbelief? I'm so glad you asked. Doubt comes with an occasion of uninformed or disinformed or not truly informed information for which you make a true confession or connection. In other words, when a doubt comes in, it's usually because something is missing. Something isn't altogether there for you to get the full picture, and that's why you're doubting, because there are areas that are not clear and concrete. So Satan, wherever he can, tries to sneak in and create doubt where there is an opportunity. But when there is unbelief, unbelief can receive all the information to make the right decision, and unbelief says, I will not believe it in spite of it. You remember Thomas? When Jesus had risen from the dead and met the folk who were looking for him and waiting for him at church that evening, he came through the doors and everybody was excited and ecstatic to see Jesus. But Thomas didn't show up because he didn't believe he rose. And so because he didn't believe, he was clear in his conviction. When the others who were present and Jesus showed up, told him, gave him the report, not just one saw him, but the whole group saw him and said that they had seen him. And he said, I will not believe unless I can put my hand in his hand and thrust my hand in his side. And what he was literally saying is, I don't want to just see him there. I want to touch and feel and make sure it's the same Jesus. Y'all not hearing me here.
Because if it's the same Jesus, he ought to have some nail prints in his hands. If it's the same Jesus, he ought to have a spear hole in his side. And I want to touch both of them to make sure it's that same Jesus. And the next Sunday, he showed up, and Jesus did also. And what did Jesus do? Come here, Thomas. Put your hands right here in the print. Put your hand. Thrust it in my side. Because here was Thomas' confession. He won't believe until he could do those things. Then he wanted God to help his unbelief. Listen, he says, you believe now because you've seen. But blessed are they who believe and have not seen. Listen, you can stumble through unbelief. See, God's promise, I just need to throw this out parenthetically. You serve a big God. Genesis 1 and 1 say, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. You serve a big God. Listen, Psalm 24 and 1 say, the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. You serve a big God. When you begin to walk through the word and see all that God has done and all that God is doing and all that God will do, what you've got to understand is sometimes his promises are so large because he's speaking in faith about what is going to be, and many times it's difficult to wrap your mind around what he's able to do because he's never moved like that in your life. But when you have the kind of faith that attracts God's attention, he'll begin to make promises to you that show you and prove to you he is who he is and he can do what he said he can do. Now listen to this. Because he staggered not over the promises, there is a reason why he believed in his power, and it was due to the principles of God. If you go back through the verses that proceed from verse 17 on down through 19, you're going to find that Abraham was following principles of God. God spoke into existence what he was going to do. God backed up the promise with his word, whom Abraham had come to know personally, that God was faithful in whatever he said, that no matter what his circumstances looked like, God was greater than his circumstances. No matter what his problems were, God was greater than his problems. No matter what his limitations were, God was greater than his limitations. And so because God said it, his faith was stirred. That's why Romans 10 and 17 is in the word. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Abraham heard God, and God was faithful. Now, he made the promise at 75, but it was not partially fulfilled until he made 100. 25 years. And some of y'all can't wait 25 days on what God has promised you. If God don't show up right now, you start doubting, did he hear me? Is he going to answer me? When is he going to show up? Lord, I need you now
And what if he don't show up now? You're going to find out you're still alive. And God's going to let you stay here until he fulfills his promise. That's you with all that drama. But when you trust God and take him at his word, no matter how long it takes, he will come through every time. Any witnesses in the house? If I got a witness, can I ask you, when will he come through? I said, when will he come through? Thank you. Every time. And so he learned those principles and grew strong in faith. Not because somebody else told him, but God told him. See, you got to stop listening to everybody else and tune into God and hear God speaking to you. That's why some of you can't stand the storm, because you're not talking to God. Because when you trust God, you know it's just a matter of time for he say, peace, be still, and calm all your troubles. But the last thing about this verse, not only was there the promise, and not only was there the power in the principles, but the last part we can't forget about, because this is the part that makes it good, not only for Abraham, but for us as well in our experiences. And the last part is his praise. You see, when you begin to realize God made us to make his praise glorious, that God has navigated the circumstances of life, and God has given us every situation in our lives to define us and to develop us, and it's never to destroy us. When we begin to understand how God operates, we begin to realize everything that does not work out the way God said it is going to do it if we keep the faith and just hold on. In time, it's going to work out. But in the meantime, while it's working out, God is working on us. Did you hear what I said? You see, one of the things that I love about God is, while God is preparing the promise for you, he's preparing you for the promise. That's why he don't show up right now after he said it, because if he had given it to you the moment after he promised it to you, you probably lose it and mess over it because you weren't ready for it yet. He just told you about what was coming. Any witnesses in the house? And so when you begin to see God working in that vein, that's how God works. And while he's working on the promise, he's working on us for the promise. 25 years, he was working on Abraham and Sarah until they were ready. And when they were ready, in 17 chapter 1 through 5 of Genesis, he came in and changed their name. And he started the fulfillment of that promise in manifested form. 25 years later. So Abraham is trying to help us by telling us he may not come when you want him. I wish I had some witnesses in the house.
But he's always on time. Abraham, help me here. What do I do in the meantime? I'm glad you asked. Well, if you do like I did, while I was waiting on him, I thought about all that he had already done. So I started a praise party and I started giving him glory. I knew he wasn't through with me yet, and I knew he wasn't through working for me yet, but he had done so much already that I started giving him glory and praise. While God's waiting, while God's working, what you ought to be doing is giving him praise. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me, my soul shouts, yay! Glory! To God in the highest. The doors of the church are open.
This is the 70,000 watt voice of the community. KAYT, Gina, Alexandria.
The blessed of the Lord. I want the devil to know that the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not walk. He making me to lie down in green pasture. He leading me beside the still waters. And you say yes, he restores my soul. And you say yes, I'm gonna email the devil just for you now and let him know. Yay! Though I walk, you're gonna make me preach it here. The shadows of death, but I feel no evil. For the onward to me, that rod and the staff, that comfort me. Can you say yes? I got another one for you. This is for your enemies. God told me to tell you, he's gonna take care of your enemies. And God said, I spread a table right in the presence of your enemies.
James Brodnick's Ministries presents the Master Key Program for disciplining your mind for good health, success, prosperity, and blessings. Apostle Brodnick's will teach you biblical principles and proven techniques right out of the Word of God that will establish you into abundant living. The Bible tells us that God gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. This ministry is designed to help you perfect your faith. Now, here is your host, Apostle Brodnick.
God bless you in greetings in that all-powerful blessing and healing name of Jesus Christ. Well, this is Apostle James Brodnick, and I tell you, I am absolutely excited today. Yes, I am. I am excited about what the Lord Jesus Christ is doing through this miracle working prayer blessing ministry. Yes, the Lord Jesus is blessing ordinary people with all kinds of blessings. Blessings of good health, blessings of success, and blessings of prosperity. The Word of God says in 3 John 2, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth.